good morning, listeners. Welcome back. Welcome to our program. Hope you had a good Easter. You're coping with the school holidays, or might have a few ideas on what to do with the children later in this program. But anyway, let's get started. Thank you for tuning in to our program, Out and About with Leah and Tim. Now, this is the hour every Tuesday from 9 in the morning until 10, during which we draw your attention to not-for-profit community events that are being held in the next 2 weeks or so on the Mornington Peninsula or very, very nearby. Leah Jewell looks after the technical production of the program. She keeps me in order, and she intersperses my chat with pieces of music that she's chosen. My name is Tim Acton. I'm a retired airline manager living in Mount Eliza, and I try really hard to pass on the event information to you in an interesting, helpful, and hopefully entertaining way. So please take a break. Have some light refreshments within easy reach. And I do suggest you arm yourself with something on which to scribble down any event details that might interest you. But before we actually move on to the events, may Leah and I wish you, your family members or maybe friends who are celebrating birthdays or significant anniversaries today, what's this, the 3rd of April. So a very enjoyable and memorable day to those people. Now, if the 3rd of April is a very significant day for you, you're certainly not alone. And how's this for a list of well-known people in the entertainment world born on the 3rd of April? For example, 1924 in Nebraska, a superstar in films like Julius Caesar, On the Waterfront, The Godfather, and Last Tango in Paris. A great actor, but he mumbled his words so I could never understand him. And of course, I'm talking about Marlon Brando's birthday. Marlon Brando. Alec Baldwin, another American actor, was born on the 3rd of April, 1958. He's on stage, films, TV. Isn't he now appearing on our TVs in an ad advertising a bank, I think it is. I've seen him, I'm sure it's him that's on TV. Other birthday today, Eddie Murphy, born in 1961, very funny actor and stand-up comedian. And perhaps I should mention an Aussie birthday today, Ben Mendelsohn, born in Melbourne in 1969, having a successful acting career to date, including The Dark Knight Rises, Rogue One of a Star Wars story, and very current one, he took the part of King George VI in The Darkest Hour and was way out of his normal character, but was very good in it. And I should mention singer Doris Day. Now, Doris Day was born in 1922. I've got to admit she was my heartthrob singer and film star in my late teens. Who can forget A Secret Love? That was enough to really bring me out into a rash or perhaps worse. But my favourite birthday person today is Jane Goodall. Now, Jane Goodall was born in London in 1934, so she's now 84, and she's considered the world's foremost expert on chimpanzees. And she's best known for her 56-year study of the social and family interactions of wild chimpanzees in the Gombe Stream National Park in Tanzania. And right until now, she travels 300 days each year lobbying for programs to protect particularly chimpanzees, but also the natural environment. And in the year 2011, she became patron of Australian Animals Protection, a charity called Voiceless, which is based in Sydney. And this raises awareness of animals suffering in those factory farms and whose mission is for a world in which animals are treated with respect and compassion. A truly wonderful person, Dame Jane Goodall, 84 today. So there you are. The 3rd of April is rather a special day in many, many ways. So let's get on and thoroughly enjoy it. And let's go on with a piece of music chosen by Leah. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Our first piece of music today is from a Sydney indie rock band called Key Out. And this is their on their album, their second one, It's Liquor.
That was the indie rock band called Key Out. Now, the 4-day break for Easter's just about come and gone, although, and driving here today to the studio, I have to say, was particularly easy, so many people are obviously still on holidays. And many of the events on the peninsula involving Easter egg hunts and local festivals have finished. So on this week's programme, we seem to have a mixture of activities designed to keep children occupied during their school holidays, and also some very tempting concerts or theatrical shows of appeal to us older folk. And let's start today with a play. It's a play at the Frankston Arts Centre this Thursday, so that'll be the 5th of April, starting at 7:30 in the evening. It's quite a humorous one. I'll explain why. It's called Glorious, and it's written by Peter Quilter, the English playwright whose plays have been on Broadway and the London West End and in over 40 countries. Now, Glorious is a very funny and heartwarming true story about the world's worst opera singer. Her name was Florence Foster Jenkins. Now, this lady, during the 1920s and to 1940s, she was a very wealthy American socialite, and she fancied herself as a brilliant soprano opera singer. But sadly, she was dreadful. Nevertheless, she financed many opera performances with herself as the star and seemed oblivious to the amusement or the criticisms of the audiences, who, it has to be said, were mainly made up of her friends. And finally, aged 76, Florence booked the Carnegie Hall. She rented the whole Carnegie Hall in New York on the 25th of October 1944 for a public performance by her. It was booked out weeks in advance, was attended by many celebrities and, unfortunately, professional critics. And it was absolutely awful. She had a dreadful voice. She died of a heart attack 5 days later. How sad is that? Now, Glorious is a comedy drama and has been seen by over 6 million people across six continents. And now it's our turn. It's on at the Frankston Arts Centre just for one night this Thursday, starting at 7:30. There are a range of ticket prices, so I suggest you contact the Frankston Arts Centre, and the number there is 9784 1060. That's 9784 1060 to hear the true story of a terrible opera singer. Now, I know there are several regular markets held throughout the year on the peninsula, as well as some extra ones on special occasions. However, I do want to mention one coming up on Saturday the 14th of April, which is easy to get around. It has a great mix of stalls for shoppers of any age, as well as yummy refreshments, a busker or two, an Easter treasure hunt. Look, if I have another Easter egg, I'm going to burst. And a barbecue. And where is this? Well, it's the Crib Point Community Market, which is being held on Saturday the 14th of April in the Crib Point Community House, which you will find at 7 Park Road. And to date, over 40 stallholders have registered to attend, but several more are expected. And what I really like about this little market, this is all money raised from the stallholders' fees are split between Crib Point Country Fire Authority, so the local CFA, and the various activities that are run by Community House for locals. So it all sounds good. It's the Crib Point Community Market, 9 in the morning until 10 in the afternoon, Saturday the 14th of April. A lot of fun and worthy of support. So there you go. Oh, and if you're having trouble finding the place, it's at Melways 195 A2. Melways 195 A2. You're a poet and you don't know it. Now, that was a saying from my distant past that has stuck in my mind. Now, if it's true or not, poetry will be the theme of a morning get-together at the Mornington Peninsula Regional Gallery on Monday morning, the 16th of April. So what's that, 13 days from now? Headlined Play On With Poetry, this event will feature at least 5 peninsula academics and artists, of a number of different genres who will read poems linked to their particular interests. For example, Philippa Chappell, the noted local actress, will read poems related to theatre, whilst John Barron from Shoreham will link poetry with music. And then there's Dr. Vivian Nicholson, the oral historian, who last year co-scripted the stage performance Tale Tellers. And then there's Michael Pays, the poet and cycling fanatic, who will read works relating to history and sports respectively. And rounding off this team of thespians, I'm not even sure that's the right word, but I love the word thespians. So this team of thespians will be Ken Parker, who will be exploring the very close ties between poetry and art. So there you go. The event is called Play On with Poetry. It's been arranged by the members of the Friends of the Mornington Peninsula Regional Gallery. But anyone is welcome to attend at a cost of $10. Very reasonable indeed. I think you get a cup of coffee for that as well. In fact, I know you do. The Mornington Peninsula Regional Gallery, which I rave about quite regularly on this program, is in Civic Reserve. That's just off Duns Road, Mornington, near the Rose Gardens. The performance starts with coffee at 10:30 in the morning, and then the poetry readings are from 11 o'clock for 1 hour. And all of this is on Monday, the 16th of April. No bookings are required. So there you are. If you're a budding poet or love poetry, there's one for you. And having said that, it's now time for another piece of music from Leia.
Yes, so now we're going to jump from indie rock into contemporary jazz with a Melbourne jazz band and Vanessa Fernandez. She's been going for quite some while and is very popular in Melbourne, in the jazz and contemporary jazz area. This is from her new EP, Unsung, with Peter Wright, and it is called Thinking It Lately.
The singer was Vanessa Fernandez. Now, if you could look at the cover of this particular piece of music, you'd see a very sultry, very nice looking lady with very Spanish look, so I say, and a lovely voice, hasn't she? Vanessa Fernandez. There you go. Now, on to events. And I guess there are not many people who haven't heard of Hansel and Gretel, the German fairy story published in 1812 and adapted as an opera in 1893. It's the story of a young brother and sister whose father is a poor woodcutter. And they're forced to leave their cottage and him by a nasty stepmother to fend for themselves in the woods. And there they are captured by an even nastier witch. Fortunately, the fairy story has a very happy ending. So why am I telling you all about Hansel and Gretel? Hansel and Gretel. Well, there's a wonderful event for children tomorrow week. That's Wednesday the 11th of April, at one of my favourite peninsula places, Ballura House in Mornington. At Ballura, there's a delightful Hansel and Gretel garden. It's presented in a theatrical style and particularly appealing to children. And I've got to say, me, when I went there, it's just the most gorgeous little garden tucked away and very cleverly designed. So on the 11th of April, starting at 10:30 in the morning, children who join in this special tour event will be led by an expert along a mysterious path into Ballura's enchanting Hansel and Gretel garden. And there they will take part in a most entertaining adventure of mystery, suspense, discovery, and of course with a very happy ending. A packed picnic lunch will follow in the Ballura Gardens. And it all sounds absolutely magical. I guess it does depend a little bit on the weather, so I hope they get a nice sunny day that day. Adults who come along must be with a child. In other words, this is predominantly a children's event, but obviously adults can accompany the children. The cost for adults, $20, for children, $15, but don't forget that also includes a rather nice picnic lunch as well. Now, I've got a horrible feeling this event on the Wednesday, the 11th of April, could be booked out. I hope not, but I do suggest if you're interested in taking a child or children along, you call 5975-2027, that's Ballura House, speak to a very nice lass there called Monique, and plead with Monique to let your child take part, because I think that Hansel and Gretel thing will be absolute magic for children. And bearing in mind that this is school holidays and children need to be entertained, last Tuesday on this program, we talked about the excellent libraries on the peninsula and the activities they are offering for children during the holidays. We briefed listeners on the activities on this particular week. They're on the ones that were on this week. Now for these events from next Monday, the 9th, until Friday, the 13th. So now I'm talking about events next week at the libraries. And as there are five different types of events, the following brief outlines are provided, and it's suggested that you contact the specific libraries about ones that are of interest to you. I'll go in date order. Monday, the 9th of April, that's next Monday, at Rosebud Library, a showing of the film Swallows and Amazons. Now, this is from the book by Arthur Ransom about four children and their adventures on an island in the Lake District of England. Look, it's had very good write-ups indeed. It's rated PG, so appropriate for children, and it's starting at 10:30 in the morning at Rosebud Library. That's next Monday. And also on the same day, next Monday, at the Mornington Library for children 8 to 12. So a slightly different age group. Story writing workshop. And it's about planetary postcards, which is a fantastic subject. This fun, I stress fun, and team-oriented workshop. Workshop's a rather heavy word for children between 8 and 12, but you know what I mean. It starts with the children inventing a whole new planet in their minds, which they then visit and pretend to visit. And then they test their creativity by writing a postcard based on their experiences on the new planet. I think the whole concept's absolutely brilliant and would be a lot of fun for children with their vivid imaginations. So that's Mornington Library next Monday, the 9th, 10:30 till 12:30. Of course, completely free. We skip to Wednesday, the 11th of April, and an event called Autumn Nature Pictures. This one is for children from 4 to 10 years old, who will hear stories inspired by the season of autumn and its effect on animals and all the flowers and vegetation around us. And then the kids will make little craft works relating to autumn. So how good is that? That's at Rosebud Library tomorrow week, the 11th of April at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And oh, it's being repeated at the Mornington Library on Friday, the 13th of April at 11 o'clock in the morning. Question. What is a manga? A manga, M-A-N-G-A. Look, I must admit I'd never heard of it. I thought it might be a female mango or perhaps a South American dance. But no, it's a fairly historic, uniquely Japanese art form based on comic books and cartoons. And it's become very popular indeed with adults and youngsters alike right now. Well, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the Thursday the 12th of April in Mornington Library, boys and girls aged say from 10 to 17 are invited to participate in a mango drawing workshop. In other words, they're going to learn how to draw manga faces. Apparently it's quite, I look on Google, they're sort of round, unusual looking things. But anyway, a lot of fun. And the final activity in today's briefing about school holidays relates to something I'm certainly not mad keen about, reptiles. I must admit to being terrified of spiders, snakes, and jellyfish. I'm a wimp on all of those. Well, reptiles, if they're only little ones like lizards and geckos, don't worry me quite as much. And of course, kids aged 4 to 12 are far less scaredy cats than I am. So those children might like to come to Lizzie's Lizards Reptile Encounter. It's a tongue twister. Lizzie's Lizards Reptile Encounter. This is a chance to learn more about reptiles and, in fact, to handle some as well. Where's that on? Somerville Library. Friday the 13th, 11 in the morning, and later that day at Rosebud Library, 2 p.m. So there are a whole heap of library activities for children. I've had to race through them because otherwise we'd be here till about midday. But if you want more information, incidentally, they're all completely free, no need to book. But I would suggest you contact the libraries that I've mentioned for further details. Rosebud, 59501230. That's 59501230 for the Rosebud events. Mornington, 59501710. That's 59501710 for Mornington events. And I think we had one or more at Somerville. And Somerville is 59780834. 59780834 for those events I've covered today, happening next week for kids who are on school holidays and so on. So I hope that's been helpful. And we'll pass you back to Leia for our next piece of music.
Yes, Tim, we're going to revisit Mitchell Martin, a young boy, 20 years old, from Western Australia, from his EP Into the Light, and this is I Can't Stop Singing.
There you are. You're listening to Out and About with Leia and Tim. The time is 9:41, I reckon. School holidays, and I wonder how many of you Victorian families have headed off to the north coast of New South Wales, to the town of Byron Bay. This is going to be the subject of my little travel talk this morning. I give a travel talk in this program every time, 6 or 7 minutes, if you're putting the coffee on. It's all about out and about and somewhere in Australia or overseas. This time we're going to talk about Byron Bay. There are daily flights on Jetstar and Virgin to Ballina Byron Bay. They actually have a combined airport. Or else you could go there via the Gold Coast and an easy drive south from there. Byron Bay has a population of 9,000. It's on Cape Byron, which is the most easterly point of Australia, and has a history going back at least 22,000 years when Aborigines of the Arakwal tribe lived there. It was in 1770 that Captain Cook sailed into the area and called it Cape Byron. 200 lots of land were purchased there in the 1880s, and in 1885 a railway followed, and a township named Byron Bay was actually created and grew up. Farming, cattle and pig breeding, dairy products, sand mining, and an experimental effort at whaling kept Byron Bay fairly prosperous. And then from the 1950s onwards, the natural beauty and the comparative peacefulness of the area attracted large numbers of hippies and people seeking alternative lifestyles, who set up communes in semi-organic environments. To this day, it's not difficult to see this side of life in Byron Bay, as flower people, sunshine girls, and rock fans descend on the town for events and festivals held frequently. Rainbow-coloured combis from which surfers spill out. There's a smell of incense in the air. It's all very laid-back and alternate. Now, when I spent 3 days there in the 1990s, there were at least 20 organisations or companies specialising in alternative therapies and products ranging from juice and aromatherapy, use of lavender, myrrh, ylang-ylang and eucalyptus. There were lots of courses in meditation, holistic health, yoga and varying forms of massage and spas. The local folk seem to be very conscious of keeping Byron Bay as natural and as unspoilt as possible. And everyone seemed to be getting on most harmoniously. This was a while ago that I was last there, but it was a very easy place to visit. I discovered that many of the activities in Byron Bay for visitors involve physical exercise, such as, for example, mountain bike riding, sailing, rainforest walks, diving, kayaking, skydiving, fishing, and gliding. Well, using the excuse that I suffered from an inner ear problem that gives me attacks of vertigo, I was able to excuse myself from all of these strenuous activities. However, having said that, much of the pleasure of being in Byron Bay is to enjoy the beautiful scenery and particularly the beaches and bays. For example, Tallow Beach, T-A-L-L-O-W, Tallow Beach, to the right of the town, stretches long and straight towards Broken Head. And in the opposite position, you have Belongil and Wattayoon beaches, perfect for strolling and breathing in the fresh, clean air. Just behind the beaches is a 5 kilometre walking track through coastal heath and rainforest with many beautiful outlook points. And I have to say, I did manage to do that fairly comfortably. Look, the one absolute must see in Byron Bay is the Cape Byron Lighthouse. It's a sort of 3 kilometre stroll from the town centre, and it marks the easternmost point of Australia, exactly there. Built in 1901 from precast concrete blocks, the lighthouse stands 22 metres high, 94 metres above sea level on the crest of a windswept headland. And it has a beam equivalent to 2,200,000 candles. That's a lot of candles. And it's flashing a powerful light every 15 seconds that can be seen over a range of 27 nautical miles. So it's extremely valuable apart from anything else. It includes a maritime museum, a pleasant little cafe, and it's possible actually to stay overnight in the former assistant lightkeeper's quarters. From the lighthouse, you'll get a tremendous view of the beaches and the hinterland, especially around the around sunrise and sunset. Brilliant. Also, if you're visiting Byron Bay between July and October, you have a good chance of spotting migrating hunchback whales as they make their way along the South Pacific Ocean. Had I had longer in Byron Bay, I would also have liked to visit the Marine Reserve and Underwater Sanctuary, which is on Julian Rocks. Now, Julian Rocks is a rocky island 2.5 kilometres offshore from the township. It's formed by a volcanic eruption more than 20 million years ago. It's now part of the Cape Byron Marine Park. And the waters in the very close proximity to the island provide sanctuary to more than 500 species of tropical and temperate fish. You've got the boulders, the sand gutters and trenches help to create a fantastic, colourful underwater landscape, complete with sponges, hard and soft corals. And if you snorkel or dive in these waters beside Julian Rocks, you'll see the most amazing variety of fish. There are docile leopard sharks, marine turtles, cuttlefish, moray eels, and schools of trevally, jewfish, and kingfish. So all of that is in that beautiful water around Julian Rocks. Look, Byron Bay is a great place for a relaxing holiday for any children, anybody of any age. Just a beautiful spot to switch off. I do highly recommend it to you. Says he, coughing. Now, so that's my little travel talk for today. So the last three events I want to talk to you about today, says he with his eye on the watch. If you like classical music played by fine musicians in a really pleasant place with good acoustics, I do suggest you consider going to a concert on Saturday week, what's that, the 14th of April, in St. John's Anglican Church in Sorrento, starting at 7:30 in the evening. Now, first of all, about the church. It's at 3460 Point Nepean Road, Sorrento. You can't miss it along the main road there. Built in 1874 of local limestone, its best known feature is a magnificent Prince Consort stained glass window that was originally intended in 1889 to go into St. Paul's Cathedral in Melbourne. But luckily for us, it was diverted to St. John's Church, where it now has resided for the last 125 years in Sorrento. The angled buttresses, the porch, the stone walls, and the tiled roof combine to provide a really lovely building. Right, the music on the 14th of April at St. John's. St. John's conducts a series of four concerts every year called Summer Music in Sorrento. And this is the last for 2018. It features a trio of excellent musicians from the city of Neuss, which incidentally is spelled N-E-U-S-S, Neuss, in the North Rhine area of Germany. Featuring Stephanie Sassenrach on oboe, Joachim Nugart on piano, and solo singer, the baritone Sebastian Klein, the trio will perform music by Telemann, by Bach, Rutter, and Poulenc. Should be absolutely beautiful program. The concert starts at 7:30 in the evening on Saturday the 14th of April at St. John's Sorrento. This is not a large church, so seating is limited and tickets are essential, and the locals of Sorrento support this concert series a lot. So you need to get a ticket. It can be obtained from the Anglican op shops in both Sorrento and Rye, or on website www.trybooking, all one word, or by calling Carol. Now, Carol's extremely helpful, 0408 316 938. Carol, 0408 316 938. Tickets, $45 per adult, $40 concession, with proceeds going to community projects supported by the church. So that sounds wonderful. Now, the next one. I like this event because of its fundraising cause and also the effort that's being put into it by two very conscientious and community-minded local folk, Rachel Ford and Shane McGuinness. 3 years ago, Rachel and Shane lost a daughter, Ruby Rose, to myeloid leukemia. This is an aggressive blood cancer. And they then started a charity called the Ruby Rose Rainbow Fund, which is linked to the Children's Cancer Foundation, and the idea is to raise money for children with cancer. So far, this fund has raised about $40,000. And on Saturday the 14th of April, that's two Saturdays from now, the Ruby Rose Rainbow Fund is holding its second annual Ruby's Ride and Roll. So I'll just say it again, Ruby's Ride and Roll fundraising event on the peninsula. Now, this involves a fleet of classic cars and motorcycles. They're traveling around our beautiful peninsula, starting from the Darver Hotel, which is at 614 the Esplanade at Mount Martha at 10 o'clock in the morning. They go as a convoy. It's a convoy of fabulous vehicles, and they're going to travel in the morning along the coast from Mount Martha to Sorrento, then through Flinders to Main Ridge. They're going quite a long way, where at Main Ridge there'll be a barbecue lunch that will be served. Then after lunch, the convoy of vehicles then make their way through Red Hill to Hastings, on to Mornington, and back to the Darver Hotel, Mount Martha. So it's a kind of a circular route. Well, not circular, but it covers most of the peninsula. When the group get back to the Darver Hotel in the afternoon at Mount Martha, there's prize givings, raffles, and a charity auction. It's all huge fun, a great outing through lovely countryside, and for an excellent cause, helping children with cancer. Look, if you have a classic car or motorcycle and would like to participate in Ruby's Ride and Roll on Saturday the 14th of April, registration to join in is $30, which of course does go to the charity, at Darver Hotel that morning. So you want to get there about, say, 9:30 at the latest, because the ride starts at 10 a.m. sharp. Now, last year, there was something like 40 cars and bikes took part. We want to make it even bigger this year. So let's have a go at making that a really good fundraising event. So for more information, call Rachel. She's one of the two parents. 0403 310 330. So how good is that? Rachel, 0403 310 330. Now, come on, us folks, let's get behind that particular project. And finally, they're back again. 2 years after they delighted audiences on the peninsula with their vibrant, joyous, and totally infectious music. I'm talking about a group called Ubuntu Africa. 16 graduates from the renowned African Children's Choir. This is the choir formed in 1984 in Kenya. It is made up of children. The main choir, the children's African Children's Choir, is made up of children aged between 7 and 12 from several African nations, including Uganda, Rwanda, South Africa, and Ghana. And the children are often orphans or victims of extreme poverty. Profits made by the African Children's Choir fund relief efforts for African children in distress. And the choir has performed in major events in the past 30 years all over the world in front of the Queen, several American presidents, and one Pope. Look, I suggest you look up African Children's Choir on Google and you'll be amazed. Now, the very good news is that Ubuntu Africa, made up of singers who are past members of that choir, are revisiting the peninsula. On Friday the 13th of April, that's Friday week, they'll be giving a concert at Balcombe Grammar School, 389 Nepean Highway, Mount Martha, starting at 7 p.m. Now, excuse me raving, but this will be a great cultural experience for people of any age to attend. I absolutely guarantee the audience will find Ubuntu Africa most inspiring in how the participants have transformed from children with most disadvantaged upbringings to radiant, lively young adults. Their moving songs, their vibrant dance movements, and rhythmic traditional African music are absolutely great. Tickets to this concert on the 13th of April, $20 per adult, students and concession $12.50. And for bookings or more information, please call very charming lady Kate Jada. It's Kate Jaeda, and Kate's phone number is 0447-001-994. So hope to see you there. I'm definitely going. And having talked about this and running tight for time, I've got a great treat for you for the last piece of music. The last piece of music today is performed by the Ubuntu Africa Choir. It's a beautiful piece of music called Rising. So I'm handing over to Leah to play Rising. Wow.